Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday. Today is Monday. It is the 14th of September, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. Happy Monday.
Glad to have you with us. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Yay, Monday.
All right, so it's going
to be... Just wanted to be, you know, good cop, bad cop.
All right. Good. Charlotte, I'd actually like to start with you and a bit of news that came across about NVIDIA.
Yeah, which doesn't immediately make you think Apple, but wait for the payoff. NVIDIA is apparently buying ARM, which, as we know, makes chipsets, Apple licenses chip designs and so forth from them for current products. And it's obviously part of the Apple Silicon process. But it's being bought by NVIDIA for $40 billion, which is a record-breaking fee, apparently, which beats the last time ARM was bought, which was for another record-breaking fee.
A $31 billion.
Just a mere, $31, $32 billion that time around.
2016 by SoftBank.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, yeah, the small change that time.
Okay.
And so, yeah, as I say, the chipset's already involved in iPhone and iPad, going to be part of Apple Silicon. But the company's apparently going to stay in Cambridge here in the UK. And I think the idea is NVIDIA believe it could be a very nice combination of its AI power and the world-leading chipset design stuff that ARM does. And so on. And they're obviously very excited about it because that's why they're spending an awful lot of money about it.
Yes.
Interestingly, a co-founder of ARM is not that happy about it. He started a Save ARM campaign. He's written to the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson saying he's extremely concerned about the deal. So it's one to watch. I think it's an interesting one. And of course, the question for us here on this show is what does it mean for Apple? Well, the stuff I've read so far is probably not a lot. There was, because as we you mentioned off air, the big thing NVIDIA is known for is GPUs, graphic processors. And so perhaps the significance of perhaps you'll start seeing some progress with Nintendo's. I'm going to really regret saying this, but apparently there's an ARM NVIDIA chipset involved in the Nintendo Switch. So maybe we'll see some revamp of the Nintendo Switch when ARM technology gets involved as well. So that will be an interesting one to watch. But I don't think at the moment, you know, we may come back on another show at another point and have a very different opinion on this. But from what I can tell at the moment, there's no need for Apple users to worry particularly about it.
So let me spin this. Apple. You know, look, we got these nice video cards over here. They look really good in your Macs over there. And it sure would be a shame if something happened to that, you know, whole Apple processor thing you've developed. You know, you hear what I'm saying? I don't actually think that would happen. I mean, NVIDIA is wanting to buy a new revenue stream is a way of expanding, which is what companies other than Apple tend to do, is they buy other companies so they can have, you know, growth through a new revenue stream. And at the same time, they also believe that they can, according to what they've stated, they believe that they can expand ARM processors into, I think, cloud computing and what they say, two cloud thingies. Cloud, I'm looking for that quote. Cloud, can't type, that's so funny. cloud network, yeah, networking and cloud computing. So both of which would represent a, you know, potential growth in revenue for NVIDIA. And I don't think there is really much of any chance that they would possibly threaten the licensing deal with Apple, because Apple is paying a lot of money
to
license the ARM architecture.
And we know that check don't bounce.
No, it does not. Now, what a lot of people, I haven't seen anyone mention this. Apple was an early investor in ARM.
Oh, okay.
And it was selling off ARM, its ARM ownership as ARM's value was increasing long before the iPhone came along, long before Apple was using any kind of ARM processor. That Apple was basically getting cash by selling off its ARM stake in chunks.
Okay.
And it's interesting to think that Apple could maybe be worth a couple of billion dollars more if they maybe kept that, but you know, who cares?
Yeah.
Apple's worth a lot of money.
A whole lot of money.
A whole lot of money, yeah.
So that was really my question, Brian, was why would NVIDIA write this check, right? Because like Charlotte said, you know, when I think of them, I think of graphics cards. So why does somebody who makes graphic cards want to get into the computer processor market? And so I couldn't really find I couldn't find an explanation there that made sense. So like you said, adding a new revenue stream because we haven't had one in a while, or the one we have doesn't do what we want, maybe this will be better, makes a lot of sense. So that's at least something I can like, oh, okay, they want to make more money, they found a way to do it, here you go. All right.
NVIDIA has a lot of money right now, and they've had a lot of success over the last several years.
Clearly, and they have a lot of money. $40 billion just laying around to go buy ARM. So,
well, it's I think it's $12.5 billion in cash and the rest of it's stock. Is that right, Charlotte?
Yeah, I don't know actually the specific breakdown of the deal, but it certainly totals about 40. It's going to total about $40 billion. Mm-hmm. Normally, as you say, Brian, these deals don't exactly involve writing one great big check. There's normally... you know, they're normally split in different ways, but yeah, sure. The total value of the deal is $40 billion.
Yeah.
So the point though is that you know, NVIDIA is looking to grow.
Yes.
And this is a way to grow and to move its way into new markets, and it's not it's not exactly like it's going to be competing more directly with Intel in terms of CPUs, because ARM doesn't currently make its own processors. They merely control and develop the architecture that other companies then mm-hmm. license. Apple, okay. Samsung, Qualcomm,
right.
You know, basically anyone who's making any kind of mobile related chip mm-hmm. is licensing that from ARM, which is why ARM is theoretically worth so much money to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Definitely what makes them attractive, I'm sure. So,
as I did a link teaser, as well as doing the news write-up of this, I did a link teaser over on our site from quite an informative piece that they posted on Gizmodo, kind of breaking down what it all means for everyone. As I say, perhaps the people who should be most excited are people who have a Nintendo Switch or may want to buy one in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing this Gizmodo article pointed out was that actually, in its way, NVIDIA is a relatively uncontroversial buyer for ARM. As I say, that hasn't stopped one of the co-founders of ARM being a bit unhappy about it. But sure. In general, in a kind of pretty controversial business tech space, it's a relatively uncontroversial buyer.
All right.
And let's toot a little English horn here, too. ARM is a massive English-British tech success.
Correct. It's regarded as one of the, in typical Brit fashion, I was being modest, but yeah, it's considered a kind of crown jewel of the British tech industry. And rightly so. And people, you know, were a bit like, oh, what's going on when it got bought by SoftBank? I suspect those same people are raising their eyebrows today, but you know, NVIDIA is, as you guys have pointed out, a very successful, growing, well-regarded company. This interestingly, you mentioned that it's kind of a British crown jewel, because the thing that the open letter by the ARM co-founder who says is that actually, you know, this should be put on the London Stock Exchange with a golden, what's the phrase they use? I can't remember the phrase, but basically a sort of state-backed bit of it so that it remains in British control, which is an interesting take, I think. Again, not totally, we can all have different opinions on that, but it is regarded as a kind of central tenant of the British tech scene or British chip design. And it's notable it's not in London as well, it's in Cambridge, which is interesting.
But SoftBank is a Japanese company.
Correct.
So I'm not sure. Like, did SoftBank pledge to keep ARM in Britain?
So the thing about what this letter says, the gentleman's name is Herman Hauser, who was one of the co-founders back in the 90s of ARM. He again said he was calling for legal protections to make sure that the ARM stays in the UK. It's set, NVIDIA has said that it will remain headquartered in Cambridge, but obviously, you know, that's just as good as their word. And so people are calling, this letter is calling for some legal protection for that. And he said, yeah, as I say, he described himself as extremely concerned and said that the natural alternative to an ARM sale to NVIDIA is to take ARM public on the London Stock Exchange and make it a British-owned company again with a golden share for national economic security. So look, that there is that debate happening as well. But in terms of consumers and Apple consumers in particular, I don't think we need to be worrying too greatly yet. In fact, you know, we may see some advantages coming down the line.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm very interested to see where this goes. And as we find out more, obviously, we will talk about it more on here at Daily Observations. And you'll find more about it at MacObserver.com. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute to tell you about our sponsor. And our sponsor today is Mint Mobile. And breaking up with your old wireless provider just got a whole lot easier thanks to Mint Mobile. They were the first company to go completely online only with all of their sales and service. And they're now rolling out an unlimited data plan for $30 a month. Let me point that out one more time. That's unlimited data with unlimited nationwide talk and text for $30 a month. So think for a second about how much your future X wireless provider is charging you. If you're ready to forsake them, you can do that by switching to Mint Mobile and you'll get that premium unlimited data plan for $30 a month. And if you aren't 100% satisfied, they have a 7-day money back guarantee. You can use your own phone, keep all your apps, all your contacts, all your same phone number and everything, move it all over. I'm using it and switching was a snap. Activation was really easy and everything just showed up at my house. So saved me a trip out and about having to wear a mask for a bunch of reasons, because remember, I live in Oregon. And having everything show up at my house so I didn't have to worry about that was super great. So my chances to test that reception all over town have been pretty limited. But everywhere I've been, the coverage has been great. So I've been pretty happy with it so far. You can switch by going to mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. And you can go there and start saving today at mintmobile.com/TDO. I'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now,
can I add that I've really enjoyed Ryan Reynolds' commercials for his new company?
Yes. Yeah. They're a delight. I enjoy them as well. As a bonus, delight, yes. Yeah. I honestly feel a little bit bad because I know I can't compare to like having Deadpool advertised for them. But yeah, but I do dig it. So yeah, check it out. The other thing we want to talk about today is something that we've seen notice of, and that's the succession plan over at Apple. And Charlotte, this is something else that you wrote up for us late last week, I believe.
Yeah, so Succession is apparently not just a really, really good TV series. It is also a thing actively being looked at in Apple, perhaps in order to avoid some of the drama we see in that particular series. So Mark Gurman did a deep dive and I took a look into it after his report, on the basis of his reporting about both the plans to succeed Tim Cook and also to who is the, you know, climbing the corporate ladder just behind Tim Cook and co. Mm-hmm. The first thing to say is Tim Cook gets hit by a bus. It seems pretty clear to everyone that Jeff Williams, the current chief operating officer, will be the acting CEO, at least by the time markets open in New York. He is the man in line, in the same way Tim Cook was kind of the man who stepped in for Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. But then there are some interesting names, and the thing that Mark Gurman did that was really interesting was kind of break it down department by department. So you've got who will be the next, you know, who's going to lead hardware design, who's going to lead software engineering, and there's all sorts of names being floated around. He notes that over in marketing, he notes that Greg, how am I going to butcher his surname? Joswiak. He succeeded Phil Schiller as senior vice president, and so there's that. He's moving up already. There are some other people kind of coming up through, called Stan and G and Susan Prescott, one of the few female names that I noticed in this piece. We will
The TLDR on all the white guys at Apple who run things is that when they're not running things, another white guy's coming up behind them.
Mostly by white guys, definitely all guys.
There's
two.
That's not what I was reading. I was reading the
shock
of lots of non-WASPy names and some feminine names.
There's two that I've could pick out. So in terms of chief operating officer, obviously, which is one we should come to if Jeff Williams is the heir apparent, whenever Tim Cook has had enough, there are people there that are potentially in the running, but that's obviously a very big job to take on. One of them is Priya, and again, I'm so sorry, this is going to be another surname I butcher, is Balasubramanian, who is currently the head of operations for iPhone. Mm-hmm. She's assumed she will eventually be the CEO, COO.
All right.
But is a couple of pegs down that the food chain at the moment. Sure. For that. The other thing that struck me is it's all very insider. There's people there 10, 20 years. There's not many, you know, the next Angela Arendt or whatever who will come in and shake things up. So I think that's interesting as well. I'll name drop a couple of the names that Mark Gurman picked up on, just because in case we see them on stage tomorrow at the Times Fly event. So intelligent systems experience, he's the vice president of that, is a guy called Sebastian Merino-Mez. He obviously could be in one for the big jobs in hardware engineering, software engineering. He's a former BlackBerry guy, but don't hold that against him. it's worth going through some of the names, because we'll probably see them on stage tomorrow.
Okay. Interesting. And what we found, by the way, this was something that was leaked to Mark Gurman. This wasn't like Apple made this announcement or anything like that. No, like, that was the other piece of that I was kind of curious about when it first came out.
Let's not get too overexcited. The event is not called Time Flies because Tim Cook is going to get up on stage tomorrow and go, "Time flies. I've been here 10 years. I'm done."
Yeah, that's not happening.
That would be excellent for the lols opportunity.
I mean,
it would.
I'm just throwing a little grenade in there, but no, that's not what's going to happen tomorrow. And if it does, you're damn sure I'm going to be on the show. But it's. Look, any company, particularly one the size of Apple, has to do this stuff and has to have these planning in action. And so knowing who if the boss gets hit by a bus man is important. Knowing who might be the COO 2 or 3 generations time is important. Like, and they have brought in people maybe 5, 10 years ago from outside. But it doesn't look like, I don't notice huge numbers of outside names being thrown around.
It's not likely. I mean, that's not the kind of culture that Steve Jobs embedded.
Correct.
Through Apple University. I mean, Apple is very much a company that does bring people up, and the few that it has brought in from the outside have extremely mixed results so far.
Yes.
Like on the worst side is Browett in retail, and that name even Angela Ahrens has her fans and detractors.
Indeed.
Another outsider.
But she also came and went. Like, she's not still there doing things. So all of her stuff got folded in under someone else. So yeah.
A couple of other insider names to throw in perhaps before tomorrow. There's Dan Riccio, who's running at Apple, who runs hardware engineering at the moment. And under him, there's a couple of vice presidents. But the one in particular worth noting is a guy called John Ternus, who's a vice and so he's runs hardware engineering for the iPad and the Mac at the moment, apparently involved in other products. And he's actually not only just cited to kind of succeed Dan Riccio, but actually might eventually be the CEO of Apple. So that's an interesting one. So if, particularly if we've got an iPad Air or something coming tomorrow, that's an interesting name to watch out for.
And that's what we'll do. And I will tell you as a brief housekeeping note, we're going to leave it there for today. The brief housekeeping note is, as Charlotte mentioned, tomorrow there's an event. It's called Time Flies. And we will be covering that. You'll see loads of information on MacObserver.com. And we're going to wait until after that event has ended to actually record this show tomorrow. So it's going to be a little bit later than it normally would be. So that's going to do it for us today. Charlotte, as always, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Brian, as always, thank you for dropping by.
Yep, thanks for having us. Good times.
And it'll be good times tomorrow. Again, a little bit later than normal tomorrow because of the event. I will talk to all of you then. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.